But today we're talking about setting boundaries, the importance of setting boundaries in our life. And I asked myself as I started working on this sermon, why do we need boundaries? What's the importance of boundaries? And boundaries are like fences to keep the good in and keep the bad out. I always liked the story of the person who wanted to run daycare, and they moved to a new location to start daycare with their kids. And they bought this house and was all ready to go, and it was pretty close to a busy road. And they didn't have a chance to put up a fence yet, so whenever they let the kids out, decide to do something, they really couldn't play ball or throw the ball. It might get out into the road, and you know, the daycare person had to stand between the road and the kids and make sure that they were all safe and they ought to play in this little area. Finally, a couple weeks later, they got the fence put in, and even though the fence was close to the road, it enclosed their whole front yard, and now she could let the kids go out and they could be playing and they could throw the balls and they could have fun and run without worrying about getting out into the street or something or dogs coming in and bothering them. And so the boundaries in the fence really frees you up. Sometimes you think, well, I don't want a boundary around me, I don't want a fence around me, but in reality, when you set boundaries, it really frees you up to know I can go this far and that any farther, and you can enjoy your life and you'd be much more productive in what you're doing. Boundaries also help us keep focused on the game at hand and help us reach our goals. Think about a football field maybe in this way. What if you went to a football game and they had no sidelines? And all they ran out of the sidelines, they ran into the bleachers on the side, they're running everywhere, it was just a random. Maybe they had no end zones, no goalpost. You know, would you be able to tell even if you won the game? No. And it would just be a chaotic mess. And yet a lot of us, we play our lives that way. We're running randomly, we're going everywhere. We don't really know why we're doing it, where we're going, what we're trying to achieve. We're running ourselves silly and we wonder why we're exhausted. Because we haven't set boundaries. Because we haven't really worked on goals. And so today we're talking about the importance of setting boundaries. And I want to take you to a scripture of a story of a great leader. Actually, Moses was the greatest leader that ever lived. That's what the Bible says. He led, a million people out of Egypt. And God used him because he was a great leader. But he had problems setting boundaries for himself. He had problems trying to figure out what he was doing, and his father-in-law had to help him out. Jethro had to come and tell him maybe some ideas on what he could do. And really, God's the one that worked through Jethro to tell him that. And God's going to teach us about setting boundaries through that story as well. So let's look at Exodus chapter 18, and I want to read verses 13 through 26 with you today. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. Let me just stop there for a moment. How many like to wait in lines? From morning till evening. Not even a Good Friday, right? Sales. I mean, a couple hours, that's long enough. I went to a doctor's appointment last week. I had to wait an hour in the waiting room. Sandy waited an hour for me or more, an hour and a half probably, for my annual checkup. Now, would you want to wait all day? I mean, don't you hate an hour? You hate 2 hours going to that. Wait all day from morning to night, not know whether you're going to get in to see the doctor or not. Not knowing whether Moses is going to even be able to help judge your case or not. So that's the kind of thing that's going on. Verse 14, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" And Moses replied, "Because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. And when a dispute arises, they come to me, and I'm the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions." You might remember, too, that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He wrote the law. He knows it, right? So he's the only one that can interpret it. Well, not really, but that's maybe what he thought. So this is not good, Moses' father. And I like when father-in-laws can speak up to their kids. I think that's good. So he said, "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,100, 50, and 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace. Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. He chose capable men from all over Israel and appointed them as leaders over the people. He put them in charge of groups of 1,150 and 10. These men were always available to solve the people's common disputes. They brought the major cases to Moses, but they took care of the smaller matters themselves. So we have some principles here about how that we can set boundaries that are going to help us and help others. The first of all, I wanted to share with you the price of overworking. When you're doing too much and you're spreading yourself too thin, the first thing that happens is burnout. And we talked about that last week. You work too much, you get too tired, you lose motivation, you lose vision, you don't know where you're going, you don't have enough strength to really do the task. And that's what Jethro says, Moses, if you do that, if you're sitting on your throne here from morning till night and people are standing around all day, it's too much for you, you can't work 15 hours a day and think that you're going to survive and nobody else is going to survive either. So you're going to be burnt out. You need to stop it. Some of you kind of work that kind of schedule. You're just randomly working, spreading yourself so thin from morning till night, not really knowing what you're accomplishing, you're getting burned out on it. Secondly, the price of overworking is not doing or being your best. You know, when you focus yourself too thin, you're not doing your best. I put on your outline, focus leads to fruitfulness. Think about that. Focus leads to fruitfulness. You know, because God has created all of us different. We all have special gifts. We have special talents. There's special things that we should be doing, whether it's in our family as leading the family or on our job or things. There's something that we can do probably that other people can't do, but we do everything else and we don't focus on that giftedness area that we have and we become less effective. I like the illustration of a magnifying glass because when I was a kid, I used to play with a magnifying glass. And most of you don't know what a magnifying glass is, do you? You have glasses. Anybody know what a magnifying glass is? For old people. They used to have papers that they read. They had little print or maybe phone books, real tiny thing, and they didn't have good glasses, you know. So you use a magnifying glass and you could hold it there and you could see the little print, right? Well, back before we had video games and all those fun things for kids to do, we played with things like that. So I go outside with a magnifying glass, and you know, if you let the sun shine through it and you can focus it on something really tiny, you know what you can do with that? You can start fires. That's why I've been a pyro all my life, because I like starting fires. You know, we used to burn leaves. Did anybody ever do that? Catch a burner. Paper you can burn. I think you can even burn something in wood sometimes. You know, if you're careful, you can do that. So it's kind of like fun. See, all the kids are messing out on that because they're video games. Just get a magnifying glass and set them loose in your backyard. Call the fire department first before you do that. But you know, how much power there is in focused light. Lasers can cut through steel because it's focused light. You know, and God has called you to be focused in what you're doing. You can be powerful. You can change your world. You can impact people in your life, but not if you're spread too thin. If you don't focus on where God's gifted you and what he wants you to do and you spread yourself so thin, you really accomplish nothing. You run yourself to death. You burn yourself out. You say, what did I accomplish with my life? Because I'm not setting boundaries and I'm not focused of what I need to accomplish. So what happens if you overwork that way, you burn out and you're not doing your best because you're not focused, and thirdly, you're not meeting the needs of others. Now Moses thought he was doing a great job, right? I'm the great leader, God's helped me to write this, I've done all the things, God's called me to be the great leader, and there's all kinds of people complaining against him. It's kind of the same thing we do in government and everything else, complain against the leader. Because he wasn't delegating and he was trying to do it all himself. And what happens with that, when he thought he was going to do it all himself, is there's a lot of people that are standing by and not getting answers or not getting their needs met, and it's not working out. And so if you try to do everything yourself, instead of delegating to others, then other people's needs aren't being met. There may be a lot of people around you that are not having their needs met because you're just trying to do too much on yourself, when maybe you could be meeting more people's needs if you're focused and you had other people doing some of those lesser tasks. And I'm preaching to the choir here. You know, I'm preaching myself. Because pastors were the worst. There's a lot of people that don't get their needs met because a pastor's trying to do it all when there's a whole lot of other people that could be doing that ministry. So as a church, we really need to focus on that and realize what can we do to spread out our ministry and accomplish more through that type of a thing. So the price of overworking isn't good. Burnout, not doing your best, and people's needs aren't being met. So why do we do it? Why do we overwork? Why do you overwork? I think there's three reasons we see from Moses that comes to us. Number one, we have a high desire to serve others. Do you ever notice that? I mean, serving others isn't bad. Jesus said, I've come to serve. I haven't come to be served. He calls us to serve. But I notice a lot of times people that have a service gift, they want to serve, help everybody. They just have that desire to help everybody. And they tell everybody they're going to help them, but they forget who they told they're going to help. And so there's probably 100 people. They say, oh, I'll help with that. I'll help with that. I'll help with that. But they never get back to help you. And you call them and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. Because they spread themselves so thin, they think they're going to serve everybody. And they want to be liked by everybody, right? So they want to be liked. They just say, I'm going to serve you. I'll help you, sure. But they forget because they can't do all of that. But we all have that desire to serve, and that's not bad, but that kind of leads us to overwork. Secondly, we feel others need us. Moses said, these people need me. They're having a lot of problems. They're having a lot of fights. I have to settle the disputes. I'm the judge here, and I need to be able to do that. And the thing is, we like to be needed, don't we? How many like to be needed? We have that basic need to be needed, and since we want people to need us, then we'll say, I'll help you. And then those people keep asking for more and more and more, and we keep giving more and more, but we burn ourselves out because we don't set limits on what we can do. And thirdly, we think that no one else can do our job. You know, Moses thought, no, I wrote the book. I know the law, and nobody else can do it. That's not true. But we have a tendency to think that no one else can do our job. Sandy just ended up working 21 years over at Hastings in the public school system, and they were telling her, what are we going to do when you're gone? Because she's been doing a lot of different things and helping a lot of different areas. And she said, somebody else will come in and do it. They might not do it like me, but they'll do the job. She went over to Grand Haven, and the person there that took her place, she's been there for as many years, 20-some years, and I'm sure they're like, how are we going to get by without you? Sandy's going, and she's doing a better job already because she's up to date, and she's doing things better. You know, pastors think that, I'm so needed here, and the church needs me, the people need me. If I leave, somebody else will come in and do better. None of you are going to live forever. You're going to die. Somebody's going to come in and take your place. So you got to get that out of your head, that you think that you're almighty. You're not almighty, that you're needed above everybody else, and you have to be everybody's savior, because that's just not true. You know, and there are other people that can do better. And that's what Jethro said, Moses, you know what, there's other people that can do what you're doing. You know, so you need to realize that. Why are you burning yourself out? Why don't you enjoy your life? Get focused on what you need to do and really be powerful and let other people come in and help. So we need to learn that. But that's sometimes why we overwork. So God gives him a cure through Jethro. You know, it's not really Jethro. It's God speaking through him, and he speaks to us. He says, and so we can learn from this. If you want to set proper limits and boundaries and be productive in your life, number one, you need to redefine your priorities. What is it that you are called to do, that God wants you to do, that you're better at than anybody else, and he wants you to be focused? And so Jethro tells Moses, you know, look at your life. You wrote the law. Are you with God? Teach people that law. You know, you're spending all your time judging between their disputes. Why don't you teach them how to live? Why don't you be the teacher and then teach other people how to be, you know, the judges? You don't have to do all that. You're spending all your time doing this instead of teaching people and training people. That needs to be your priority in life. So he had to redefine, what am I doing that's going to be effective in life? You need to do that. What's your priorities? Are you making your family your priority? Is God your priority? Does he have a mission for you to do that's your priority? You know, why are you doing everything instead of focusing on what God really wants you to do? Secondly, share your lesser task with others. Share your lesser task. You know, these smaller cases, they can do it. There's other people in your house can wash the dishes. Other people can mow the lawn. Now, I've tried time doing that because I like to mow the lawn. I like to mow the lawn because that's relaxing for my stress, right? So I like to mow the lawn. It takes 3 hours to mow the lawn. You think somebody else could mow the lawn and I could spend 3 hours doing something more important? Probably, unless it's my recreation that I need to do. But I, you know, it was hard sometimes even let my kids do. I actually let my wife mow the lawn here the other day. First time in 20 years, I think she's mowed the lawn because I like the, I mean, I let her use a weed eater and push mower, but I use the rider, you know. Well, not really, but actually she rode the lawn. She mowed our and mowed the church, you know, so she's learning. I'm going to make her do that now after this sermon for the rest of the summer. But, you know, we do all these things because we think that we can do it better or we need to do the job. And maybe we waste time that somebody else could do, some of those lesser jobs, so we could do what we need to do and make that a priority. And number three, set boundaries for yourself and others, because if you don't set boundaries, others will set them for you. When I look at Jesus' life, he set boundaries for himself. He didn't heal everybody. There were all kinds of people that needed healing. He didn't feed everyone. There was all kinds of people that needed healing, that needed that. People came in crowds to listen to him, and they said, "Where's Jesus?" "Oh, he went up the mountain to pray." "Where's Jesus?" "No, he went to another town to preach." "We need him here. You know, he hasn't healed all my kids yet. You know, he hasn't done all this yet." "Where's Jesus?" "Oh, he's hanging out with his disciples because he knows he needs to teach them." He set boundaries and he said, okay, everybody wants me. If anybody that wanted Jesus, everybody wanted him. He had so much that he could do, and he set boundaries and said, no, I'm not going to do that. I need time to myself. I need time to rest. I'm going up to God. I'm talking to them, and I'm going to set boundaries. And interesting to me, when Jesus came to the end of his life, he made this statement, I've done everything that God wanted me to do. Everybody wasn't healed. Everybody wasn't fed. All the demons weren't cast out. But he knew that if I train those 12 disciples, they're going to be able to do more than he could do. They're going to go out and they're going to spread out, and it's going to continue to spread out. He said, I've done everything that God wanted me to do. But he set boundaries. We need to set boundaries, and we need to be focused on what God intends us to do. So I want to take just a little time in wrapping the sermon up today to give you some guidelines on how you can do that. And it's not going to work unless you do it. Because you can sit here and say, oh, fine, those are some things I need to do, but then if you go and you don't do it, it will accomplish nothing. But if you'll do some of these things, it can help you get focused in life, set some boundaries, and make you more fruitful, and help you to be what God wants you to be. The first thing you need to do is evaluate how you spend your time. And I put there, suggest that you log your time for a week. You waste your time in the same areas all the time. You can get a logbook pretty cheap, and you can log every half hour, what do I do? How long did you spend in the shower today? How much time did you spend for breakfast? Did you spend time in your devotions with God? You know, you probably can block out your work time. This is where I have to go for that. How much time did I watch TV? How much time was I on Facebook? But if you, every half hour you log and you see where you spent your time, then you can keep track of it and you can focus it on my priorities of what I need to do. So first thing you need to do is log your time. Secondly, schedule time for what's important. And you need to go to God and say, what's important? You know your family's important. You know God's important. You know your job's important. But I wanted to put this on your outline for you. Maybe you won't agree with me, but I think this is true. Remember this order, God, yourself, and others. You know, you're always taught that you put others first, right? I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible does say think of other people before yourself, but I don't think it says put others first. The Bible says love other people as you love yourself. And if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to serve other people. You're going to be burned out. You've got to take care of yourself. You put God first, then you schedule those times to take care of yourself, then you do your ministry out of that. They told us that all the time in seminary and in training. You need to take time for yourself. You need to exercise. You need to take time to rest. You've got to take care of yourself, and I don't listen to it. Is anybody else like, you don't listen to it? You've got to eat properly. So when you go to your schedule, make sure you're eating properly, you're taking time, make time exercise. 3 times a week at least, get out and do a good cardiovascular exercise. You need to take care of yourself physically, and you need to have rest times and put that on your schedule as a prime thing. You need to put God on your schedule as a prime thing. Jesus always went to God and found out what he was supposed to do for the day, then he went out and did it. That's how he could say, I've done everything the Father wanted me to do. But we're so busy serving him and running around and doing anything, we never ask him what he even wants us to do that day. We never think about, oh, this person needs something today, or I need to spend more time with my spouse today because we're getting a little distant, or my kid is having a little problems. I need to spend more time with him today. God's going to help you set your priorities, but you need to block that out. If it's 15 minutes, a half hour, put it on your schedule and nothing's going to get into that. You've got to spend that time with God, and you've got to schedule those times for yourself and not let other people distract you from it so that you can be healthy. Again, I'm preaching to the choir. I need to do that, and I intend to do that, to schedule more time that I need for those things of staying healthy. It said, if you don't take time to keep yourself healthy, you will not be able to meet the needs of others as you should. So evaluate your time, log it, schedule time for what's important. Number three, protect your prime time activities. I want you to think of taking all your time and putting it in 3 categories. Prime time is the most important, the most focused thing that you need to do. It's your high priority items. You have to concentrate with no interruptions, and you don't let anybody else in. So when you put that on your schedule, nobody phone calls, you're not going to answer them, nobody's visiting, you're not scheduling anything else during that time, that's my focus time. I need that time where I'm doing the things that are most important to me. For me, that's in the morning. I function, I get tired at night, I go to bed early, I get up early, and I can think better in the morning. So like from 7 to 9 o'clock, if I'm at the church working on my sermons, and that I can make that priority time, and I can focus on that and make it the best that I can do. Also, you need to be focused on those priority times in your life, and you should do it just like you're going to go on vacation the next week. You know how hard you work when you're going to go on vacation? You're so focused because you have to get all that stuff done. Now think about that. If you acted like that every day in your prime time, how much you could get done. You're focused. You know, you want to get that done so you have time to do other things in the day. And one thing, I always wondered, how do all these pastors write books? Well, sometimes they just take their sermons, somebody transcribes them, and they put them into books. How do they do that? And I can remember going to a conference when they said, I put it on here, add 30 minutes to your prime time a day. So if your morning is your prime time, and say you like to sew or you want to paint, you want to do different things, you say, I never have time to do that, add 30 minutes to your prime time and do it every day. So instead of going to lunch at 11:30, you go at 12. And so if I wanted to write and start writing a book, I could do that a half hour a day. If you add 30 minutes to your prime time every day, that'll be 175 hours you add in a year. You can do a lot in 175 hours just by doing it 30 minutes a day. So, okay, well, I never can write notes to people or contact people that I need to. You could do it if you would say, 30 minutes a day, I'm going to add that. So again, being focused on those priority times and really working hard. The second category of time is grind time, and that's what most of our time is. It's driving here and there, taking people, doing stuff, running to the store, and in your grind time, do the more than one thing at once. You can get more done if you do more than once. I'm not so good at that. I think women are good at that. Women are good at doing the laundry, washing the dishes, taking care of a bunch of stuff at once. Maybe men aren't quite as good at that, but sometimes we multitask. Like I spend a lot of time driving in the car back and forth to work. Why am I listening to something while I'm driving? Why don't I listen to some leadership tapes? Why don't I listen to some different preachers or some different ministry things? I can do more than one thing at once. So in your grind time, do more than one thing at once so that you have time for this last part, and that is your unwind time, where you schedule that, where you relax and you rebuild activities, you get away from it all. When you work hard. When you play hard. Because probably some of your most important things is the unwind time. That's probably where you do your relational stuff. You get that other stuff out of the way so you don't have to tell your kids, I can't go to your game tonight, or I can't go to that because I've got these extra things and stuff I have to get done around the house. So I've worked hard in my prime time to get stuff done and my grind time to double up things so I can relax. And when I go and do those things, I forget about everything else. Forget about your office work, forget about your church work, forget about stuff and just go have fun and relax. So those are the ways that help you set boundaries. This is my prime time. I'm not going to let anybody else into that. This is my grind time. I can double up stuff, but I'm going to have an unwind time that I schedule. That's probably going to help me stay healthy over the years. So evaluate your time, schedule your time, protect your prime time activities, and number four is keep clutter out. Now, I'm not good at this again, because clutter will distract you and it'll keep you from being creative. So first of all is physical clutter, things that occupy your vision in a negative way. Did you know if you just clean up around your workspace, you'll be more creative? You don't realize it, it's unconscious, you see it there, but it clogs your mind. So don't go into my office, it's awful in there. I don't spend a lot of time in my office, you'll see that, because I spend time at home. I have a laptop, I work off the table, I have it air conditioned there. Everybody calls me on my cell phone. I don't want to stay over here in the hot church. Why do I do that? So when I come here, I just pile everything, and it looks horrible. So when I sit down there, look at all that stuff I have to do, and look how messy that is, and everything's piled. I need to clean it, so that's one of the things. I'm going to clean it. Because what do other people think like when they go into the office and say, boy, that pastor has nothing together. Look at that. That is a mess. Same way in your areas at home. Clean the clutter. The physical clutter, so that you can be creative and you can be at ease. You can be more relaxed if you do that. Secondly, mental clutter. Things that occupy your mind in a negative way, you've got to push them out. You can't be thinking about Facebook all the time. You can't be thinking about things that people said all the time. If you're being focused on prime time, then get rid of that mental clutter out of there so you can be focused on what you need to do. And the third is emotional clutter, things that occupy your spirit in a negative way. Now, I hate to say it, but sometimes that's people. Most often it's people, because they're going to pull you down. If you're a servant and you're helping people, you're going to have needy people that need you, and they're going to be needy, and they're going to call you 5 times a day, and you know if they're calling you, they're going to want something, and at some point you have to set boundaries and say, I'm not answering the phone, or tell them, I'll talk to you once a day, I'm not going to talk to you 5 times a day. I'll help you maybe once a week get your groceries, I'm not going to go every day to do something for you. You've got to be able to set boundaries and say, emotionally, I can't take that drain. I need to be around positive people. Even though I'm trying to help you, I'm going to have to shut the door on that at some point. So you need to think about getting rid of that clutter, that physical clutter, that maybe that mental clutter, and also that emotional clutter that gets you in your life. So we've talked about a lot of things, and if you do application, you ask yourself, so what, now what? So I ask you what you're going to do about it. Do you want to be productive in your life? Do you want to reach some goals? Do you want to have fun? Do you want to have power in your life? Do you want to influence others? Then you need to do some of those things. Get a daily planner, log your time, schedule your priorities. That's probably the main thing. You look at your life right now, who can I help? And God's going to tell you, who needs help? Now, whatever age you are, who needs a word from God? Who needs a contact? Where is my ministry right now? That I need to make it a priority. Okay, I don't like to write letters or text somebody, but maybe a half hour a day, God's going to call me to contact people who need encouragement. And, you know, and ask God, who do I do in that time? Delegate lesser things to other people. Don't try to do it all yourself. Let the rest go and sometimes say no. If you're like me, I got a lot of work to do, and I've been better at that in the past. I've had times where because of my busy schedule and everything that's going on, I've logged everything, and I know we're down to every 15 minutes what I'm doing. I probably haven't done that now in 10 years, but I think it's time that I do. Because shouldn't we make the most of every opportunity? Shouldn't we be the most productive that we can be? Shouldn't we take care of ourselves so that we're not burned out? Because probably if we're not delegating right to, there's a lot of people with needs that are unmet. And they look by and say, you know what, there's a whole lot of more ministry could be done if you would delegate it to other people and set up those systems so it's done. So I got a lot of work to do on that. Maybe you have some work to do in your life. So let's just pray and ask God to help us to set those boundaries, become focused, and so that we can be the people and have the impact on the world that He wants us to have. Lord, we can just drift through life. We can just keep busy and make ourselves feel comfortable because everybody needs us, and we're doing this great job, and we're getting burned out on it, but we don't take care of ourselves. But I think You have more for us than that. And I think You have more impact that we can make for ourselves and maybe even as a church than that. So help us to take some of these principles that Moses learned, and he did them, that we would learn and we would do them. We would find ourselves to be all more effective for You in the ministries that You have for us as well. Help us, Lord, and guide us in this process, in Jesus' name, amen. Hope that was helpful to you, and hopefully that you can learn some things, and hopefully that we'll all put some of those into practice as well. Let's stand together. We're going to close by singing that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, and I guess that's what we all need to do, in asking God to show us in what areas that He wants us to set our boundaries and wants us to set our goals for Him.